This is KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein. Arizona has had 22 governors in its history since statehood, from the walrus-mustachioed George W. P. Hunt to Jan Brewer.
I understand that some in this chamber and some who hope to try their own hand at this job differ with one or more of these steps. And that's fine, but I have a straightforward message for you. If you have a better plan, produce it.
Maybe you're a fan of Ernest McFarland or One-Eyed Jack Williams or Janet Napolitano.
I think on this issue, he's approaching it as a pragmatist. What is realistic in terms of our country? What is realistic in terms of Arizona?
You may have just moved to Arizona, but you've still probably heard of Evan Meekum, who shocked most when he won in 1986. He lasted barely more than 1 year in office, but what a year it was.
If you continue to push in this manner, and you continue to push people who have willingly said, we want equal rights for all people. The time does come when the majority says, we're not going to take it anymore.
Phoenix Magazine editor Craig Outier, with the help of Arizona historians Marshall Trimble and Jack August, compiled a ranking of the 22 governors. Meekum came in last, by the way. Outier says, as with former presidents, historians can change their viewpoints on governors after they've been out of office. He says that's been happening with Fife Symington.
No one's rehabilitating Evan Meekum. That just wasn't happening here. But both Marshall and Jack have a high opinion of Fife Symington, who they both felt was just a really skilled administrator, had a good value system that appealed across the aisle, and maybe was too much of a wheeler and dealer, which really, you know, was his undoing. Mm-hmm. But a charismatic guy who brought people together and got things done, you know, an effective administrator. So he was number five on our list.
How high did they decide to rank folks based on bipartisanship, the idea of working both sides of the aisle?
Sure.
Did that come up?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's really the only way to get things done in a real way. And so, yeah, that was a big metric for both of them. The bottom half of the list is just filled with governors, for instance, Raleigh Stanford, who governed during the Depression. Mm-hmm. Great. He was a brilliant lawyer. He was a chief justice in the Arizona Supreme Court. Later, he just could not collaborate. He just wasn't in his DNA. Raul Castro, our first Hispanic governor, mm-hmm. the nation's first Mexican-American governor, doesn't rank very highly because he was a lawyer who was and a great ambassador, called his own shots, ran a great mission, didn't know really how to collaborate.
And it must be hard to rank guys who are not in office very long. Obviously, there's Raul Castro's successor.
Sure.
Didn't last very long, which led to Bruce Babbitt, which is also mentioned there. It's also, we had three governors in the span of, a year and a half or so?
Yeah, it was just a whirlwind of secessions. And the one you mentioned is Wesley Bolin, who was the Secretary of State for several decades. Mm-hmm. Beloved guy, ex-sheriff, probably didn't want to be governor, probably was very happy being Secretary of State until the end of all time. But, you know, here in Arizona, no lieutenant governor. Mm-hmm. If you're Secretary of State and the sitting governor happens to leave for any reason, that's you. So the poor guy took office, and then there was this flooding disaster in the valley in the late 70s. And Marshall Trimble theorized that it was just too much for him, the stress, and he died of a heart attack in his house during the flooding.
You've got Mofford and Hull, who had really different perspectives on that, too. Mofford's another one who didn't seem to really want to be in the office.
No, I don't think so. And she's such a great story, and obviously beloved here in Arizona. You know, I don't think she did want to be governor. I think she started off as a pool secretary at the Capitol, kind of worked her way up, was elected Secretary of State. The first time she was Secretary of State was when Raul Castro left. But because she wasn't elected to that office, and she just came in and filled the previous Secretary of State, Wesley Bolin, she couldn't take the governorship. So it went to Bruce Babbitt, like you say. She was perfect for Arizona at the time. She was this kind of soothing, maternal figure after Evan Meekum.
How do we measure whether someone is good or bad? Right. That's why I think ranking's got to be really difficult when it comes to this.
Yeah. A lot of it's subjective, you know, and I wouldn't say it's a popularity contest by any means. Longevity was a big part of it. If you can get reelected, and, you know, for instance, our first governor, George Hunt, was elected, I believe, six different times before they had term limits. You had to almost put him in the top six just based on that alone. And he wasn't a great bipartisan collaborator by any means. But, yeah, I think being able to defy people's expectations, bend a little bit from time to time was a big part of it, and get the big projects done that define Arizona, like, you know, I'll just say our number one guy was Sidney Osborne, not a household name by any means in Arizona, but the single governor most uniquely responsible for getting the Colorado River Compact done. which helped Arizona grow into the state we know now. So he was our number one guy, and actually both Jack and Marshall put him in their top two. So he was an easy guy to put up.
And your number two was Bruce Babbitt, another guy who was really well known for working with both sides of the aisle and doing big things as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, water was a big part of his governorship. You know, he was kind of like a closet technocrat. I mean, he was a lawyer. Mm-hmm. He was the attorney general. But water was his thing, and he understood it. And he created policies that resonated across the country. Part of the reason he became Secretary of the Interior later on, you know, he just had a real talent for that. We kind of lost him. He kind of became a Washington guy. You know, once you become a cabinet member, Arizona really can't claim you anymore.
I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Sam Goddard, only because his son Terry has won a lot of elections, but he's lost every time he's run for governor.
Right.
And yet Sam Goddard was pretty low on the list. Anything significant stand out about him?
Yeah, I mean, he was kind of ahead of his time. He was a fully functional modern Democrat in that, you know, he embraced the Civil Rights Act. He wasn't an old states' right Democrat by any means. Mm-hmm. But he couldn't, you know, he wasn't bipartisan in the slightest. And I think back then, Arizona, even though it was still predominantly Democrat, people sometimes don't realize this was a Democrat-dominated state through its first, you know, 50 years. Those were conservative Democrats by and large, especially outside of the city. Yeah. So he had a 1-2-year term back before, you know, governor served a 4-year term here. Mm-hmm. And you just can't, you know, with a 1-2-year term, he just, I don't think either Jack or Marshall felt like he could be ranked higher than, you know, in the teens.
Was there any comparison as to where Arizona governors rank? Is it a pretty good group?
Yeah, I think it actually is a good group. The office itself is what's traditionally been marginalized. It was always a very weak office up through the 60s. It kind of changed that, you know, policy was rewritten to make the governor less of a rubber stamper, but that was something that kind of held back a lot of the governors. The power was really in the legislature for a long time. As far as the substance of the people who have held the office, I mean, we have some interesting facts. We've had the most female governors, 4. A lot of diversity, a lot of people who have gone on to big things nationally. I think the stock of our governors is pretty high. It's something we can be proud of.
Craig, anything we missed? Well, tales or any fun stuff we missed?
There was one governor who ran on an interesting slogan, ugliest man in Arizona, you know, which I don't know if it would play well today. His name is John C. Phillips.
Was that pre-TV days?
It was pre-TV.
So he didn't even have to say anything about
exactly,
that.
Exactly, really. That wouldn't come back to haunt you.
Craig Uthier, the editor-in-chief of Phoenix Magazine. Craig, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.